Read in Matthew, we find our text in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, where Jesus said to the scribes and also said to the Pharisees, "Go, learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." When Moses came before God in Mount Sinai, he wanted to be sure before he spoke to the people that God would be with him. And he said to the Lord, not merely said, but besought the Lord, "Show me thy glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. Show me thy glory." And what did God do? He said he would show his grace, his free love to those whom he would. And he would show mercy to those whom God chose to serve mercy to. Moses went on to hew the two tables of the covenant which had been broken before the Lord. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the Lord, the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. So when Moses has asked God to show his glory, God said, "I will proclaim my name, and I will be gracious, and I will show mercy." And when Moses had hewed the two tables of stone, not in answer to an immediate prayer, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him. And he proclaimed the name, that's Jehovah, the name of the Lord, "I am that I am." And then what did he say? He said, the Lord Jehovah, "I am that I am, merciful and gracious." He is a God of love, but that love is shown in mercy to sinners. It is the governing characteristic of God, our Heavenly Father, that in love, he shows mercy. And in Exodus 34, verse 7, he goes on to say, not only that he's merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in goodness and truth, but he comes to mercy again, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Sinners don't deserve mercy, but the Lord loves to bestow mercy. And to those that come for him, come to him, he will show mercy. He loves to show mercy. He is a God of abundant mercy. And it is because of that that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. For he cannot show mercy to those who've sinned. He will visit their iniquity upon them. But the Lord Jesus bare the sins of all his people upon Calvary. And God showed mercy to them. Hosea speaks of, it's the origin of the text that we have in the New Testament. He says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Hosea begins that chapter 6 with, come, let us return unto the Lord. She's a bit concerned because she hasn't been praying. Come, let us return unto the Lord. For though he's torn, he will heal us. He is smitten, and he will bind us up. He allows us to get ourselves into trouble. He allows us sometimes to have to put up with others' punishments or others' ill-treatment of us. But he does so in order that we may turn to him, come to him, and desire his forgiveness and his healing. And if only the Lord's people would have understood that. Instead of that, they did things that they should not do. And even their religion, they went to worship God while they were committing adultery and all other things, and thought that their formal religion would count. And to them God says, I desired mercy, not sacrifice. Sacrifice pointed forward to Christ and his mercy. But sacrifice, without being merciful, is of no avail. So as we come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ, in chapter 9 of Matthew, quotes that verse, as he also does later in chapter 12 and verse 3. And we read there that, first of all, the Lord Jesus dealt with a man who was paralyzed. His friends carried him, couldn't get in because there were so many people, climbed onto the roof and let the sick of the palsy down. And what appealed to Jesus? It was their faith that appealed to Jesus. That they trusted him, that he would work things together for good, that he would heal, that he would have mercy. It was to him they had brought this man, and no obstacle put them off. And Jesus says to them, Jesus, seeing their faith, that's all of them, four people who carried the man and the man himself, Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes who were there, knowing the significance of what he said, said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Because only God can forgive sins. We agree with that. But they didn't believe that Jesus was God. So when he said, thy faith be forgiven thee, they said he was blaspheming. And Jesus also taught a most wonderful lesson. He knew their thoughts. He knew that they thought in their hearts that he was blaspheming by saying, your sins are forgiven thee. So he says to them, tell me, is it easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? They said he blasphemed when he said, thy sins be forgiven. So Jesus asked, is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or arise and walk? Well, you know the answer. Of course, it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven. Because no one knows if that's true or not. No one knows if it's happened. Can't see whether the words have come true. So Jesus said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, which you can't see. He then said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. So that the crowd would know that he had the power to forgive sins. Now notice when this man was brought, it wasn't the first thing that Jesus thought of, that he should be made better. The first thing Jesus thought of was that his sins should be forgiven. And having forgiven his sins, he then healed his body. And actually, it's also very interesting that so far as we know, that man didn't come about his sins. He came about being healed in his body. But Jesus took the initiative, seeing their faith, and forgave the sins, and then healed his body. Now the crowd thought that was wonderful. But the scribes, who murmured saying, this man blasphemeth, still spread amongst each other their low opinion of Jesus. And it was then that Jesus called Matthew. Now Matthew was, who wrote this gospel, and who particularly was fond of this scene, Matthew was a receiver of custom for the Romans. Now anybody who worked for the Romans was considered a traitor by the Jews. Not immoral, but a traitor. So as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And he obviously got together a whole group of other publicans. The Jewish people called publicans and sinners, moral sinners and publicans, as being the most terrible class you could get. Now Matthew didn't hesitate to get together all of those of like mind into the house. And it came to pass, we read, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples, which now prompted the Pharisees, not only who said, this man blasphemeth, but they said, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Jesus' answer is absolutely marvelous. Why? Those that are whole do not need a physician, but those that are sick. Of course, you would expect me to be among those who are sinners and those who are publicans if I'm going to heal them. When Jesus heard what he said, that he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but them that are sick. And then he said, remarkably, if you like, to the scribes and to the Pharisees, go away, and do some homework. Go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous. Nobody's righteous by nature, but they thought they were. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So Jesus was sending them away. They already knew the scripture of Hosea, of course. It was their job to do so. But they'd not given it adequate thought. They'd not seen the significance of it. So he sends them away and says, go and look at Hosea again. He says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. If it's one or the other, mercy. If it's sacrifice, but the sacrifice of evil men committing sin and hurting other people at the time, I will have mercy. Not on their sins, but mercy is what I desire, not sacrifice. The Lord Jesus, like his Father, the I am that I am, loves mercy. He has mercy for thousands. Of course, you can't receive mercy if you don't think you've done something wrong to somebody. It's only if you think that you've done something wrong and that they might hurt you or damage you or your reputation. Children in a fight, I can remember when we were at school, children sometimes used to fight because someone pinched one, somebody's cap, and somebody had pulled his tie instead. And the one that physically was getting on top in the fight, the other would say, have mercy, meaning stop. Let's put an end to it. And Jesus said, I will have mercy. Mercy is my, because it's a branch of love, I will have it. I will have it from among my people. I will have it because they are, have all been sinners and have known my mercy and their sins have been forgiven. He told a parable, didn't he, later about that steward who'd been forgiven for so much that he defrauded his master of, then immediately went out in a bad temper, presumably because he'd been told off, although he'd been forgiven for all the amount he owed, went off in a bad temper and grabbed an equal by the throat and said, you pay me what you owe me. And Jesus said he was a very wicked man, for as mercy had been shown to him, so he should show mercy unto another. One gets the impression, because I'm not a Muslim, but one gets the impression that the Muslim religion is not a religion of mercy. They do speak of Allah as being merciful, but it doesn't strike you when you watch Muslims in action that they're particularly merciful in their concept as well as in their actions about the living God. But the living God loves mercy. Not only, of course, does he love to show mercy to us, for us to show mercy to others, but he loves to show mercy to us. The sinner who's really upset about his sin, the one who's got a habit or a plague of his heart that he can't break himself off. The sinner who knows he's done wrong against the commandments of the Lord and feels that the Lord could be in great trouble with the Lord. Yet the Bible says, if he repents and seeks the mercy of God, he will receive mercy. And as far as our own behavior is concerned, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And if they've already received mercy, more mercy. Blessed are the merciful. So the Christian religion, based on the Lord Jesus, is very merciful. It is a mercy from God to each one of us. It is a mercy from each one of us to one another. And because the Lord called us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins and had mercy, so we should show mercy to others who don't love the Lord yet. I love the words in that hymn with which we open. Thy mercy is more than a match for my heart that wanders to see its own troubles depart. Mercy of God overwhelms us. Can't believe it. Do believe it. Trust in it. But that mercy, so undeserved, is more than a match for our hearts. As we come to Christ, may it be a heartfelt religion, because the Lord has dealt with our hearts in great mercy. Amen.